Good morning. Just a couple things real quick. Today starts the new Tool Time classes. So Bill Olson will be teaching on Hebrews right in here. Ought to be a good class. Hebrews is a great book, one of my favorites. And then Les Bishop will be doing A Case for Christ, and he'll be in that upper room, which is above the youth room. Please, if the youth have started, you should go in the front door and then up the stairs. Don't just assume. Give them their space. They kind of like it. And then I'll be teaching on culture shock in here. We're going to be talking about some social issues and what the Bible has to say about them. So we'll be right in here. So there you have it. Okay. The other announcement I want to make is, and it's an open invitation, Christmas Eve is coming. And man, it's coming really quick. Okay. December's going to go like that for me. But you're all invited, and you're to invite everybody that you would like to, friends, neighbors, relatives, enemies, doesn't matter. Invite them all, because it's going to be a great time focusing on the real reason for Christmas, and that's His name is Jesus Christ, okay? So that's a great time, and more information will be in your bulletin. So, my dad was over helping us. He came up from Arizona. We're in Oregon. We're in Portland, Oregon. Carrie and I living in this apartment. And we must have a kid or two, so we're still pretty young, okay? And that wasn't that long ago, that was just like 2 years ago. But anyway, so we're there, my car had a problem with the wheel bearing, so we had to take it off, and it was an inner thing. Had to go take it down to the parts house to have them press it off and press a new one on. So I've been in Oregon and Northwest for a long time. My dad's from Arizona. When we first came up from Arizona, we froze. We went to 4th of July, Carrie and I bundled in coats and everything, and everybody else was walking around in t-shirts, and we thought they were all nuts, okay? Well, it's changed by now, and so Dad is up visiting from Arizona, where he spent most of his adult life, and it gets pretty warm, especially just all year. And so we're walking over to the parts house, and so I take off. I'm in my short sleeves, and here we go. And so Dad says, "Don't you think you need a coat?" "No, I'm fine." "Jim, don't you think you need a coat? It's a little cold. You might get a cold or something." And I said, "Dad, I've been up here long enough. I should know when I need a coat and when I don't." And he just simply said, "When do you want me to stop being your dad?" So I stopped. I left him on the sidewalk. I went to the house, got my coat, put it on, and I still didn't need it, but I put it on because I listened to advice from my father for so many years. I thought it would be a good time to not stop doing that. Listening to advice is really important. Most of us have a really hard time with that, largely because our pride gets in the way. I love my opinion. And after all, I've thought it through, and my opinion's right. And I don't want you to speak into my opinion. Let's don't have a dialogue about it, because I know I'm right. And if I'm right and you disagree with me, well, you're just wrong. And now I have to force my opinion upon you. Because I'm going to defend myself, right? If we're bottom line honest, we're afraid of being wrong. So when somebody is offering advice, we tend to ball up and hide away because, after all, I've thought it through and I'm right. There's another reason we run from advice. You ever met somebody who is free with it and gives it away too much? Had a wonderful camping trip while we were hunting for elk. And this one gentleman, he was always just giving off this advice. He knew everything about everything. He's a really good guy. But when his mouth opened up, I watched everybody go. Became a burden. Some of the stuff he was spouting off, the average person knows. He was a really sharp guy, and if he would harness his free mouth, people would listen more readily. We're going to talk about accepting advice. It's really important. It's so important that God wrote about it in numerous places, but specifically in the book of Proverbs. And so I've given you a whole list of areas where accepting advice and correction, etc., is listed there for you. You can look those up. We're going to look at some of them. The outline today looks like this. We're going to clarify some terms, and on the first point, we're just going to be brief, and because we've got a lot to do. And we still want to make sure that communion doesn't get a token spot in the service, but it needs to be prominent. So number two, we're going to talk about the fool's game. And then number three, we're going to talk about wisdom's way. And once again, It is a comparison in the book of Proverbs between the fool's way and the wise way. Remember, please remember, wisdom is not somebody who is just smart enough to know better. Wisdom is being in right relationship with God, with the Creator. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, that sets up the whole stage. And everything that we read in the book and learn from the book of Proverbs should fit in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The beginning of knowledge is fear of God. It's not the kind of fear where we're quaking in the corner, but it's the kind of fear when we say, I don't know nothing, He knows everything, and we trust in Him. So number one, clarifying terms. We're just going to talk some definitions here. These are definitions. I did not make them up. I looked them up, and this is how these words are defined. The word advice shows up often in the book of Proverbs. It means opinion about a course of action to counsel or inform somebody. Now, I'm going to give you two more definitions that tend to qualify that, because every one of us here is too free with our opinion. We're too defensive of our opinion. I dare say that in America, your opinion is your God, and we need to be careful with that. So, number one, a personal opinion. Here's a definition right out of the dictionary. A belief or conclusion held with confidence, but not substantiated by proof. Chicken Little ran around the barnyard, fully believing with great passion that the sky was falling, had zero proof, other than something hit her on the head. She misinterpreted it as a pine cone and went and convinced everybody with her passion and panic, and the people in the barnyard, the animals in the barnyard were gullible and they listened, except the wise old owl, because he had knowledge, and he instructed them in the way of knowledge. The barnyard listened, and so then they backed off. Personal opinion, that's me holding something with confidence and passion, but I really have no substantiated proof. Here's something that's a little better, number two, a professional opinion. Listen to the difference. This is a judgment based on special knowledge. In other words, there's been some teaching, there's been some training, or significant past experience. Okay? My dad told me to wear a coat because in past experience he knew that you could catch a cold or maybe pneumonia for walking around in such a state. A professional opinion is one that's based on substance, significance. So make sure you're not giving off advice too freely out of your own opinion. Then letter B, correction. This is the act of bringing back from error or mistake. So when Proverbs is using that, you hear the idea of correction or instruction. It's to call somebody, well, this is not the right way to go in God's way. You need to come back and go in a different way. Discipline, that comes up often as well. Discipline is training that is expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. It's not just to make your children more convenient for you now. Discipline is meant to help your children develop character and behavior that will help them in the future. So here's two things under discipline. The focus under discipline to begin with, number one, is training. And that's to coach toward a particular character behavior. That's what you do when you raise your children. That's what you do when you're a teacher. That's what you do when you're helping somebody grow to a certain level. You coach them along. Occasionally, they will not pay attention. And so Proverbs is really strong on number two as well. Punishment. That's involved in discipline. Discipline is not always punishment. We think of discipline as punishment only. Wrong. It's secondary. Okay? Punishment is a penalty brought against a person doing wrong by the authority to which the offender is subject to. And too often we want to punish everybody. By the way, you're not their authority. So it kind of loses its meaning. And then one more, rebuke. It means to scold or to reprimand a poor display of character or wrong behavior. Number one under that, if it's a motive to hurt, to lift yourself up to superiority, to put somebody down inferior, to give them a piece of your mind, it's sin. It's a sin of pride. Rebuke with a motive to help is an act of mercy. I got a child doing the wrong thing. Maybe they're doing something that is disrespecting their mother. I am being merciful to that child, to teach that child and use discipline, to help that child learn how to respect mom. Because if that child doesn't learn to respect mom in the home, that child's not going to learn to respect anybody outside the home. And so I'm doing it for that child's betterment. All right, there's some terms to clarify. That's good for you throughout all of Proverbs. It's going to be helpful for today. Look at number two. We want to look at the fool's game. Now I have letter A, B, and C. If you forget everything else, if you could remember A, B, and C, then you got this all down. So first of all, the fool's game, letter A, they trust their own opinion. Nothing else. Letter B, they ignore sound advice. Why? Because they trust only their opinion. And then number three, they pay the ultimate price. Why? Because they're closed to any kind of instruction, any kind of advice, anything that might help them not continue the same pattern of mistake. All right. So letter A, they trust their own opinion. Number one, why do they trust their own opinion? Well, it's fueled by their imagination. We talked a little bit about this when we talked about the attitude of pride. We don't actually act in prideful out here, but in here we certainly do. In here we judge people. In here we're critical of people. In here we say, I would not have made that choice, meaning that I am more superior than that person, and that person is inferior. This is the same thing that goes on with a person who will not accept advice. They trust in their own opinion. They trust here. It's fueled by their imagination. Turn with me to chapter 12, verse 15. There's two parts in this verse. Right now, we're going to look at verse 15, the first part. And here's what Proverbs says. The way of a fool seems right to him. That's another way to say a fool is wise in his own eyes. A page or two over and look at chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. By the way, when your mouth is doing this all the time, what else is not working? Right? This is the mark of a fool. Always yakking. Always telling you his or her opinion. Because I love it. Hey, by the way, a fool or a person can give off their opinion and not talk anymore, but still not listen. This is the mark of a fool. In chapter 12, I want you to understand that the fool listens only to himself. The wise person listens to correction. That doesn't mean you buy into everything as a wise person, but you're not afraid to say, maybe I'm not right. Let's interact, and maybe you can show me where I'm wrong. A fool is wise in his own eyes. A wise person realizes that he needs to learn, that there's a vacuum in here, that he doesn't know all of that. There's the contrast. By the way, and I forget who said this, but one of the authors I read, the person who knows it all may be the only one unconscious of his real name, which is fool. Right? Beware. If you're somebody who thinks you know it all in whatever particular thing, without experience, without substance, you need to be careful. Okay, in verse 18 too, I just want you to remember that verse. A fool has an opinion, and it's never up for conversation. It's only a monologue. I want to tell you what I know, and I really don't care what you have to say. Unless you agree with me, then I want to hear it. But if you have something in opposition or you don't agree with my opinion, you just be quiet. Let me tell you mine because mine is right. You hear what's flawed in that whole thinking? We need to realize when we're going through the book of Proverbs, your job is not to think of other people who show this. Your job is to look in your life and make sure you're not showing it. We need to be careful. That's what Proverbs is about. It's not about the other person. It's not about society. It's not about the culture. It's not about America. It's not about nothing but you and your walk with the Lord. Proverbs is really challenging. And we need to look at ourselves and say, you know, there are times when my imagination fuels what I want to believe and I don't listen to anybody. We need to be careful with that. Look at number two. Not only is it fueled by our imagination, but it's founded on their emotion. Turn with me to chapter 29, verse 8. There's other verses I could look at, but this is the one that really displays the emotion. Need to understand a mocker is somebody who has walked the path of a fool for some time, refused to listen to advice and correction because they're protecting their own thoughts, all right? It's basically something in fear. And so then they become a mocker, and they mock or they injure people to keep them back and away so they can hold on to their opinion, okay? These people are harsh and mean. Verse 29, verse 8, the beginning. Mockers stir up a city, but wise men turn away anger. We'll talk about the wise guys here in a little bit in a good sense. The whole concept there in the Hebrew, stir up. You ever lit a fire? Okay, you start with the kindling and you work it all up. Let's say the fire's starting to die. What does it need? Oxygen. You know what you do? Sometimes you lean over and go, and what happens to the fire? Or a cowboy will take his hat off and do this. Was it down in Tennessee? They had hurricane force winds that fueled the fire that just did a lot of damage and killed some people. It's the wind. That's the picture of a mocker. He wants to stir it up. He wants to fuel the flame. He wants people to be burned. A couple reasons keeps the eyes off of him. Because sometimes people are caught up in all that and they don't see the source of the fuel for the flame. Partly because we're afraid of the mocker. And the other reason, maybe they're right and we haven't thought it through. Stirring up. I see that as emotion. A mocker is somebody who ridicules the wise. He violently protects his own opinion. In fact, he loves to instigate the mob. He likes to call people up and say, hey, you need to come onto my side and go against them. Because after all, and he throws out stuff that's unsubstantiated. After all, they're doing this and this and this. And you know what the gullible person says? The one that's not wise? Maybe that's true. Wow, and next thing you know, the barnyard's running around because the sky is falling. Because we're gullible. Don't follow the mocker. Because they fuel their own emotion. Look at number three. A fool trusts his own opinion. It's fueled by his imagination, founded on their emotion. Number three, it's focused. It's unfocused and greedy. Chapter 17, verse 24. Again, we're looking at the second half of that verse. We'll look at the first half later. But the whole verse, 24, says, a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. The wise are focused on gaining wisdom. They're focused on being open to learn. They're focused on not protecting their personal opinion, but looking for truth and knowledge and wisdom. But the fool looks everywhere for answers except it cannot receive wisdom. That fool is greedy. In his own strength, he wants to, with his imagination and his own emotion, set up the opinion and hold on to it, whether it's right or wrong. That's in contrast to a wise person we'll look at later. Let's look at letter B. Another thing, the way of the wise. Because they cherish their own opinion based on nothing. They ignore sound advice. Number one under here. Why do they ignore sound advice? Because they're convinced that they're right. They've convinced themselves. They're living in a reality that is only in here and not out here. Look at chapter 17, verse 10. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes of a fool. See the contrast there? Okay. That fool is not going to turn from his opinion, no matter how painful it is. We know people who live in utter chaos all the time. In ministry, you meet them a lot, and they're always wanting their fires put out, but they never want to change their way. That's a picture right here. There's a time when God has sent correction and advice and calling people back, but when they continually rebel and reject and ignore, eventually God says, all right, I'll let you have the consequences of your choices. Again, we can stop and look and see people in that situation. We go, oh yeah. We need to stop and look at our own heart and make sure we're not walking the path. Because we can walk the path of a fool, and it's a compromise that is so gentle until we're so sucked into the black hole, there's no way out. You'll see in just a little bit. Look at number two. Why else do they ignore sound advice? Because they care little for the truth. It's their opinion that is the thing that is amazing, the thing that they want to protect. So truth doesn't matter. Don't let truth get in the way of my opinion. I've had people, when we talk through certain things in Scripture, and here's all the evidence. Okay, so the evidence leads to this conclusion. And afterwards, they want to argue. They don't agree with me. What is it that you don't agree with? Your conclusion. Okay, wait a minute. The conclusion is consistent with the evidence. Where did I misinterpret or misunderstand the evidence? I don't care about the evidence. I care about your conclusion. Well, we can't have a reasonable discussion. We got to listen to the substance. A fool is one who cares little for the truth. Chapter 15, verse 12. A mocker resents correction. It's not even just resists, it's resents. When a mocker or a fool is being corrected, it grates, it hurts, it frustrates them. So it says, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. Why? Because it might prove his opinion wrong. Then I'd have to change. Admit I don't know. You remember the pursuit of wisdom. It's not smarts. It's a relationship with Creator. Living life His way. The fool in his heart says, I don't need God to tell me what's right and wrong. I can figure it out myself. I don't need guidance and help. I don't need correction, advice, and knowledge. I can figure it out myself. I'm going to look for all my personal answers everywhere but from the Lord. That's what a fool is. Be careful, because we as believers walk that path far too often. Let's see. There's one more verse. Chapter 23, verse 9. This comes in the form of a command. Do not speak to a fool, for he will scorn the wisdom of your words. It's telling the practicality. You got John Doe here, and he's just a fool. He will not receive correction. You know, you work at it, but after he proves he's not going to take any kind of advice or correction, instruction, or knowledge, there comes a time when you say, okay, I'm going to go work with this person over here. This is important for us to understand. Our best friends, our good friends, should not be people who demonstrate a resistance to correction. We tend to go along with people and say, well, they're basically good. That's the lie of the world. The Bible says that mankind is basically bad. And we need to be careful hanging around somebody who lives the life of, I'm not going to be corrected. My opinion is the right way. Those are the kind of people you should stay away from. Those are the kind of people you should not be. Then look at number three. This person who ignores sound advice fears competition with their opinion. Chapter 9, verses 7 to 8. And we'll look at the following verses later. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Choice ripens into character and destiny. the fool who rejects correction and advice. God's correction eventually stops, and the fool will face full consequences of his choice. So God doesn't necessarily send a thunderbolt of lightning. He just backs off. You're not going to follow my way? See what happens. A wise person who chooses to follow the correction and advice. God's correction continues and it develops godly character. In the New Testament, we understand that to be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. Proverbs recognize that some will never listen. Proverbs recognizes that some will never listen to wisdom or God's ways. See, when the world says we're basically good, all we need is a little bit of help. It's wrong. The only help we need is Jesus Christ. And when he changes our heart, then we have a relationship with the Lord, with the Creator, and then we want to live his way. And then we're open to listening. All right, look at letter C, talking about the fool. They pay the ultimate price. And there are three verses I want us to look at. Proverbs 15:10. These are pretty straightforward and a little bit severe. Remember, don't look to people, look to yourself. Chapter 15, verse 10 says, "Stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path." This is more than coaching. This is getting on you. Look at the second half of the verse. He who hates correction will what? Why? Because they won't listen and they're going to continue the same mistake over and over. And God says, don't do that, because this is the way of life and that's the way of death. And a person who won't listen to God's correction and direction is walking away from the Lord further and further and further. Now look at verse 32 of the same chapter. And the first half of that verse reads, "He who ignores discipline despises who?" You have a child and you're raising that child and you teach that child to do or not do certain things. It's your job. Don't apologize for it. Get it done. Okay? And so you hold that child, you teach, you coach, you hold them to a standard, all right? And when that child disrespects what you have honestly taught them, yeah, they're a problem in society, but the one that takes the hurt is themselves. They despise themselves because they bring the chaos down upon them. Don't be that person. One more, chapter 29, verse 1. Chapter 29, verse 1. "A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed." And it makes it an emphasis, without remedy. Stiff-necked. That's when they used to use oxen to pull the carts, and they had a yoke. Probably seen it, a picture of it in a book, TV, movie, or something. It's a wooden thing that goes over the necks of the oxen so they can pull the burden. A stiff-necked oxen is one who would not allow them to put the yoke on his neck. He's stiff-necked. He just fights it. Okay? That's an apt picture of somebody who refuses to accept guidance and teaching and instruction. The person, it's a picture of the person who repeatedly refuses the warnings. When somebody tells me, well, God often has to take a 2x4 to get my attention, my response wants to be, quit being a stiff-necked oxen. Accept God's teaching. Accept his training. Don't be a fool, because that's exactly what's described. We need to accept the warning now before it becomes too late and foolish character becomes who you are. Because if you walk that path, it gets harder and harder to turn from being that fool. Okay, let's look at wisdom's way. And again, there are five main points, and they'll be clear as we go. So what is wisdom's way? First of all, eager for wisdom and knowledge. One who is wise is eager to mature, eager to grow up, eager to get knowledge, eager to understand how to use that knowledge. Back in chapter 9, I'm just going to read it to you. It's the second half. We looked at the first half where it talked about don't rebuke a mocker and so on. Here's the other half. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. A fool does not think he needs to learn. A wise person knows he needs to learn. Not afraid of it. A wise person is not afraid to have developed an opinion and say, yeah, but it may not be right. A wise person is not weak when he says, well, let's talk about it. Where do you see me wrong? Let's talk about the evidence, not about your passion or your opinion. But let's talk about the evidence. A wise person loves the correcting person because they love to learn and stop their mistakes. By the way, character is revealed by your response to correction. Someone comes alongside and says, I'm not sure that's the way God would have it. What? Okay, you're a fool. Or, really? Help me understand from God's word what you're saying. That's a wise person. In there's a chapter 18, verse 15. I'm going to let you look that up later. But the wise have an appetite for knowledge. They want to learn God's ways. They want to learn it from God's word. Yes, I want to learn it from you, but I want to measure it by God's word. I don't want to just get all excited because you're passionate about it, because it may just be your own imagination making something up. I want to make sure it's here in God's word. And a wise person is eager for wisdom and knowledge. Letter B. Wisdom's way is eager for correction. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. And then chapter 15, verse 5, whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Hey, to be teachable, you know what you need? Humility. You know what a fool does not have? Humility. Because they know it all. Don't be that person. Humility accepts discipline. It desires to learn rather than continue its mistakes. And then in verse 5 of chapter 15, it talks, the one who listens to correction and applies it shows prudence. Prudence is the appropriate behavior that is beneficial in life. Prudence is that readiness to be corrected because I want to do the right thing that God has called me to do. Wisdom's way, letter C, is eager to listen to advice. You see, all of this is the opposite of what a fool is. We've spent more time talking about what a fool is because it's a warning and we need to hear that. And if we heed that warning, this is what we will look like. Eager to listen to advice. Chapter 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Chapter 13, verse 10, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Here are three things of advice for you. I've already mentioned them in other ways. But number one, you want to receive advice not from Mr. Opinion. Don't you be Mr. Opinion either, okay? But if somebody is Mr. Opinion, this is the person who is wise in his or her own eyes. His opinion is not open to discussion. I've already thought it through. This is it. No, I'm not ready to have any discussion or dialogue. This is it. As long as you agree with me, we can discuss it. If you disagree with me, I'm going to come at you like a mocker. You do not need to listen to this person's opinion because they have a closed mind. It's all fabricated in here. Number two, don't listen to advice from one resisting correction. Why would you do that? Somebody comes and says, here's my opinion, here's advice you need to have, but I will never let anybody correct me. Why would you do that? As a child, I need to learn how to find the right kind of friends. In high school, there were four of us. We were having a good time, but this one guy, and his name is Jim, and it's not me, it's a different guy, but he started walking down a path that was just like crazy. He'd look at girls in the wrong way and talk about it, and he was just getting crude. He was starting to steal things for Christmas. He was so happy because he stole a Christmas tree from the lot, and just his life was going. And the three of us were saying, stop it, this is crazy. And he wouldn't listen. He'd begin to laugh at us. You know what eventually happens? He quit hanging around us, and we quit hanging around him. Our values were so different. I am sad to even think where Jim might be today. The other three are doing really good. I know where they are, the other two and myself. So you don't want to listen to anybody who is resisting correction. Look at letter three. Those are both the negatives, now the positive. You want to take advice from those being shaped by wisdom. All you learn from a fool is trust in your own opinion. What you learn from the wise is listen to and follow the Lord. That's the kind of person that you want to listen to and follow. All right. Letter D. Wisdom's way, open to hearing rebuke. Remember, in number one, I gave you a definition for rebuke: to scold or reprimand a poor display of character or wrong behavior. It is not giving somebody a piece of my mind. That is, yes, a rebuke, but that is not the kind of rebuke that Proverbs or the Bible talks about in a good way. It's always in a bad way. That's the way in which the Pharisees and the religious leaders, that's how they rebuked, to give a piece of their mind. You know what it implies? That I know better than you, that I'm superior and you're inferior, and I got to make sure you know it. That is never, never appreciated in God's Word. In fact, it's always spoken against. You know why? Because when I have to give you a piece of my mind, it's an attitude of pride. And that's what I'm living to do, to promote me, myself, and I. By the way, a rebuke is not putting somebody in their place. And all I said with that first goes along here. Again, it's an attitude of pride. Rebuking somebody can sting. It can wound. It can bruise. Okay? But it's meant to turn somebody back to the right way of the Lord. A friend who truly loves you is not afraid to say, you're doing something wrong. I had a friend, he was teaching in a Bible college, and he didn't like what the Bible college was heading toward. And so we're talking, and he tried to gripe with me and bring me right in there and go, yeah, I hate the school too. And as he's going, I finally said, and this is not his name, but John, if you disagree that much with the direction of the school, it's not your job to change it. It's your job to find a new job. That's because I care about him. I don't want to jump into his opinion because he's passionate. I don't want to do that. He doesn't have any right to tell that school where to go. He can voice his opinion and move on. When you are rebuking, you're helping someone see the better way, something that benefits them in their walk with the Lord, not in relationship with you. The wise long to improve and help others mature in Christ as they are maturing in Christ. Look at letter E. Wisdom's way contributes to the community. Verse chapter 13, verse 14 says this: the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. And you find that a handful of times in Proverbs. It is also in agreement with the tree of life. Think about where this was written, okay? In the Holy Land, in the Promised Land, when you irrigate correctly, it can produce an awful lot, but there's an awful lot of arid ground in there. I'm from the desert. I know what it's like to be hiking in the desert, and all of a sudden you come across a spring. And all of a sudden, out of the aridness comes lush life. That's the picture of the wise. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Chapter 25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to the listening ear. You see, these are not people who give a piece of their mind. These are not people who have put people in their place. These are people who help people understand how to live for the Lord. And then verse 29, chapter 29, verse 8, you've heard this one. Mockers stir up a city. Here's the contrast. But wise men turn away anger. You see, the wise, they love to point to God and to His ways. The wise love to teach more than rebuke. The wise, while defending God's truth, they seek to bring harmony, not defend himself or his opinion. Hopefully you have an understanding of what it means to seek advice and the value thereof it, right? Hopefully I've given you a few boundaries to make sure that you're just not gullible. Because I think by and large, a lot of us are. We like to think poorly about somebody rather than positively. I've given you a list of applications there at the end. Okay? Number one, I've already said it. Discipline yourself to listen to more advice and correction than you give out. We're too free to say, how can I correct this person? Stop it. Be a wise person and take the correction. Number two, don't be the person that has an opinion on everything. You really don't know that much. Learn to listen so your opinion is shaped by real evidence and not your own pride. Listen. Okay? There's many others I can tell you here. I'm going to let you read them. Number six, I'm going to read for you though. Beware of the company you keep. Do not develop a friendship with someone who will not be corrected. They will take you down the path of destruction. You'll begin to compromise and favor them and support them and protect them, and they're using you whether they realize it or not. Be wise. Pull around you friends who are open to correction, wisdom, knowledge, and growth. That doesn't mean that a fool does not need a Christian in their life. That's exactly what they need. But you want to make sure that you're not getting caught up with defending them rather than defending Jesus. We're going to go to communion now. I'm going to ask those who are going to help me to come on up.